The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumor of wars, and do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of birth pangs." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Having the experience of both my parents in hospice and a spouse in palliative and hospice social work, one learns about the signs when death is near. In hospice, they'll explain to you what to expect and that you shouldn't be alarmed, but just know that death is getting closer. Knowing what the end will look like, knowing what the end will be like, still doesn't give us the ability to pinpoint exactly when. And other than alerting loved ones that the time is getting closer so that they can say their goodbyes, there isn't that much of a benefit in knowing exactly when. I can personally speak to how obsessing over wanting to know exactly how long does a loved one have does not change anything in the present. Distracted me from the present. It took me away from the time I still had with my loved one. Now, verses like the ones we hear today in Mark's gospel have been used by Christians to scare people, which I find ironic because Jesus says, "Do not be alarmed," when he describes the signs. What too many Christians with a platform have done is taken these signs, completely ignoring the fact that it's stated elsewhere that no one knows when the end will take place, and then plot out charts and timelines, doing nothing more than alarming people, as opposed to being a people that shares the good news amid a chaotic world. Now, there's certainly a benefit to knowing your family medical history, for example, because that awareness can help you watch out for certain things that might be generational, and it might give you information that can help you change your present lifestyle for preventative measures. What would be useless would be to go through your family medical history, chart out when your ancestors died, and try to come up with a conclusion on when you were going to die, and not change anything about your present life circumstances, just obsessing about your future fate. Nothing is gained by this. Certainly, fruit is not being produced when spreading a word of fear. Christians are called not to add to the chaos in our world. We're called to bear witness to the hope that we have for the world in Jesus Christ. Now, certainly those in Mark's community hearing these words from Mark's gospel would have been able to maybe make sense of the persecution that they were enduring. Now, later on, immediately after the verses that we hear in verses 9 to 13, there's more about that experience of persecution. But even in the midst of that, in verse 10, it says, "And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations." Our mission is to still proclaim the gospel. It does not change. Now, in our gospel lesson, the disciples are caught admiring these buildings, admiring the temple. We too can get caught up in admiring the structures of our world today, the magnificent structures that we have built. Now, what Jesus is doing here is he's telling the disciples that the powers of this world do not last forever. In the chaos of our own age, what a violent and chaotic world can we attest to? We saw two magnificent towers in New York City destroyed. In 2019, a fire destroyed a large part of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. And recently, we might have admiration for the launches into outer space funded by billionaires, and I'm sure people seeing someone that having the ability to do that, that's a sign of ultimate power to construct and execute such a feat. I want to aspire to that. That is what success looks like and what we should aspire to. So Jesus is not just saying, do not be afraid. He's warning us here. Do not develop the attitude, if you cannot beat them, join them. We're to be a people that is countercultural, a people of hope, and a people that longs for God's justice in this chaotic world. This means we shouldn't be adding to the false idols of progress and achievement. And it's certainly because when we do that, it gives us this temptation to be led astray and to have greater worship of ourselves, because that's what we're doing when we're in awe of those magnificent structures that are built up, whether we realize it or not. And it still distracts us from the needs that we need to tend to in the present. It pulls us away from those who need to be ministered to. We also need to be aware of who we put our trust in when there's chaos and turmoil, because Jesus warns us that there will be people who will be eager to get our loyalty and our faith and essentially lead us away from following the way of Jesus. What we need to keep in focus as Christians when we talk about the end is that it's not the end. A new beginning is promised. You've heard me say many times, the Lord's Prayer, may it be on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying for heaven to come down, a new heaven and a new earth, a new creation that is underway. That's what we bring hope to. That's what we bring witness to. In the chaos and turmoil that we encounter and will encounter in this world, Jesus uses the word birth pangs. Now, there are many that see the turmoil and evil and chaos in this world and will ask, how long, O God? That's a fair petition. That struggle for goodness and God's justice to prevail is part of the tension that we see. And when we see at times evil pushing back to the goodness and for God's justice to break through, it feels like goodness and God's justice and God's kingdom will not prevail. But we are a people of hope. We are a people given a promise. In Christ, we are part of a new creation. As sinners and saints, we are heaven and earth people. It means that we are a people of patience. We are a people of peace. And we are to share the good news in word and deed. This means we're not to be consumed with predicting the future, but tending to the present. This means that we're not about going out into the world to spread a word of fear, but hope. This means that when confronted with chaos and hate, we minister to those who are suffering with the love of Jesus. The new creation is underway, and we are called to trust God and embody the gospel in our lives. And you could leave here this morning and say, that sounds lovely, but how? How do we concretely do this? How do we apply this in our lives? And we're called to do it each and every day. It's not done through a program. It's not just done and executed in an event. It's through the everyday vocations that you are called to in your life. It means that when someone we love has hours, days, weeks, or months left in their earthly pilgrimage, we try to make the most of our time with them while they are still here. to put our trust in God and not be consumed by the fear and anxiety of not knowing exactly when, and also not being afraid of what an uncertain future without them will bring. As Jesus indicates elsewhere, that future will come soon enough. Let us be present today. This means that we are to be present to those around us when we go to work, school, or in our own homes. You never know when someone around you is going through a chaotic time and might need your presence, your gifts, and your love that can give them a glimpse of God's new creation that is underway, that can give them hope in the midst of their dark times. This means that we hold space for people within our church family to share the chaos they're experiencing so that we can be supportive in prayer and in serving them any way that we can, that may offer some stability with the love of Jesus that we give to them. As food insecurity and hunger plague our community and our world, we step into this turbulence and chaos by serving one meal at a time through our various feeding ministries that our congregation is engaged in. We do all this by clinging to two very important truths. Do not be afraid, and trust Jesus. For if we are still living during the birth pangs, our mission does not change. We share the love of Jesus and offer people a word of hope that the new creation is here and is to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.